The second shiur of the week, we are going to be covering two topics right now. One topic we're going to be covering is Rav Chisda's halacha, mazik manas kahuna. According to Rav Chisda, you're going to be pater. And the second topic we're going to be covering is the general topic of tova sana, and how to look at tova sana. The first topic, however, is going to be mazik manas kahuna. So you start with the Gemara in Chulin, which we've covered this week. The Gemara says, the B'shem Rav Chisda, that if you are mazik matnas kahuna, or let's say, for example, you eat it, so patam l'shalim. So it goes without saying that you're patently wrong, meaning it belongs to the Kohen, and currently is not owned by the Kohen, but it belongs to the Kohen, shaykh to the Kohen, and so obviously you shouldn't eat it. On top of that, we can also add that if we're talking about matnas kahuna, so including the matnas kahuna is truma, zar shachal truma, if a non-Kohen eat truma, so it's chayav misa. So from an Isser standpoint, so it's a tremendous Isser to eat it. But the Gemara over here is not focusing on the Isser. The Gemara is focusing on the Tzad Mamon. Meaning, what kind of financial obligation do you have, if any, if you are Mazik Manas Kahuna? So Rav Chisda introduces us to a tremendous Chiddush, and that is that he says you're going to be Potter. So why is it that you're going to be Potter? So the Gemara at this point in time offers a couple of explanations behind Rav Chisda. One, my taima, so Ibai Sema Dichsiv Zeb. So it could be based on the pasuk. The pasuk, when the Torah introduces us to manas kahuna, so the Torah uses the word zev. So zev, zev yeh mishpat ha-kohanim. So that's one possibility, that this is going to be mishpat ha-kohanim. And meduik in the word zev, meaning that only when they're here is it mishpat ha-kohanim. But for whatever reason they're gone, even if they were taken away unlawfully, you had no right to eat it. But nevertheless, so you ate it. So if it's no longer here, so then you are going to be putter. You don't have to make compensation for it. The other possibility of the Gemara Ibai Sema Mishum Davalei Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Another possibility, says the Gemara, is because that this is Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Nobody's going to make a claim over this. Nobody can make a claim over this. What does that mean, nobody can make a claim over this? Meaning, Kohanim, it's Matnas Kahuna. Kohanim are entitled to it. Kohanim should get it. So what does that mean, Mamon Shein Lo Tovim? So the simple pshat, Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, meaning to say as follows. You have the right to choose which Kohen it's going to go to. And you can choose any Kohen you want. Right, there's a pecking order, right? We learned in the Gemara, you should try to find a Kohen Chaver, a Kohen Tam Chacham, but if none unavailable, you can give it to a Kohen Amaretz, you can give it to whichever Kohen you want. So in Halacha, so the Gemara describes this as Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, so I'll give you a comparable example in American law. So in American law, so let's say that some company put out a product and the product is defective. So right now, so we're going to make a lawsuit against the company, right? Because we were aggrieved. So in America, so they came up with a system, legality, if you will, of what's called a class action suit. So a class action suit is basically where we're going to create an entity of a group of people who were aggrieved, and that group of people, that entity now is going to sue against the company. And so this is it's a great idea. So it's an American legality, and that is that you can create what's called a class action suit. What we're learning together in the Gemara is that that's an American legality, but it's not true in Halacha. In Halacha, so the Kohanim cannot get together, and the Kohanim cannot sue you against the Mammon, because it's Mammon Shein Lo Tovim. That's the basic idea behind Mammon Shein Lo Tovim, meaning there's no one Kohen who can take you to court. That's the basic idea. And so based on these two ideas expressed in the Gemara, so Rav Chisda says you're going to be Patur. And then the Gemara from there goes into a lengthy discussion, I think seven rayas altogether. You correct me if I'm wrong, but there are seven rayas or seven either proofs or disproofs against Rav Chisda, whether or not his position is defensible or not defensible. At the end of the sugya, the Gemara passes like Rav Chisda. The halacha is like Rav Chisda, that if you are mazik matnas kahuna, so you are in fact going to be Patur. Again, wrong for what you did. But in terms of compensation, so you are not going to be taken to court. You can't be taken to court in order to pay. As we also went through the entire sugya, it became very clear from the sugya. It's not just limited to matnas kahuna, it's also matnas aniyim. It's the same idea. Meaning that by matnas aniyim, you have gifts you're supposed to give to the aniyim. Let's talk about maaser ani. So maaser ani is the same idea. Meaning, which ani can you give it to? So you can choose which ani you're going to give it to. So under those circumstances, because now there's no one ani that you owe it to, so no one ani can take you to court and put a claim against you. And so therefore, if you destroy matnas aniyim, so it's the same halacha, meaning what you did is categorically wrong, but in terms of compensation, you don't have to compensate. That's the Gemara, that's Rav Chisda, and that's in a nutshell. The Gemara gives two reasons in terms of Rav Chisda. Is there a nafkamina between these two reasons? So Tosos discusses that. Tosos is on the daf. So Tosfos writes at the end, Vika bein hani trei lishne. So Tosa says that he believes that there's an afkamina between these two reasons. De'lahai lishne de'ein lo tovim. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Tosa says, so let's go with the svara of ein lo tovim. So nidihi de'ein yachol l'tov o b'dayanim b'dina shamayim mi'a mechayev. So even though you can't be sued, but nevertheless, midine shamayim, you are going to be chayev to pay. Lishna kama, Tosas continues, but if we're going to go with the first lashon, the darish lemi vizeh, we're learning out from the word vizeh. So afilu midine shamayim nami lo mechayev. So then you're not going to be chayev at all, not even midine shamayim. Okay. So Tosas introduces to us this idea that perhaps based on these two reasons, there's going to be a nafkamina, a very simple nafkamina, and that is the chovah lasei sidei shamayim. Chovah lasei sidei shamayim, at its simplest level, means that you can't be taken to court, you're not obligated to pay. But if you want to do the right thing, if you want to be a good person, so you should pay. That's chovas latzis yidei shamayim. And so if I'm going to go with mamashen lo tovim, so that means, says Tosos, that really you should be paying. But again, as a legality, you can't be taken to court because there's no toveya. There's no one toveya. But you should pay. So there's a chovas latzis yidei shamayim. Mashenkin, if I'm learning out from the pasuk of vizeh, so Tosos suggests that there, so again, it's not justifying in any measure that which you did. But still, if it's learned out from vizeh, so then it's gone, and your mamash have no obligation to pay, not even chovelat seisidei shemayim. Good. So that's the Gemara. That's Tosfos. Okay. So what we're going to do in our first half of shiur today is we're going to learn a little bit together about this chovelat seisidei shemayim. So the formulation I'm going to work with is based on the Ksos, and the Ksos writes as follows. Now I'm not going to read the Ksos inside. I'm going to say it outside. Okay, Binyamin, this is, I call this your ksos. So but this ksos over here basically says like this. Chovah latzeis yedei shamayim is not all the same. And if we can, what we're going to do is we're going to break it up basically into two categories. Meaning there's chovah latzeis yedei shamayim, and then there's chovah latzeis yedei shamayim. Now, if you were listening carefully, you heard the same thing. But it's not the same. And the ksos, he bases it on Yamshal Shlomo, he bases it on a marshal. The ksos says like this. Sometimes chovah latzeis yedei shamayim means that you are really obligated to pay, but you can't be taken to court. So, for example, right, zixos. Let's say the principle of kimleva derabba minei, where let's say you do an act which is going to engender two chiyuvim. One is greater than the other. I'm sure at one point or another, you heard about the idea of kimleva derabba minei. So, kimleva derabba minei means that Beis Din cannot try you on two counts. They can only try you on one of the two counts, the harsher of the two. It's in fact what the term means, kimlei b'derabim minei. You're only going to get the harsher of the two. So there the Ksos writes that under those circumstances, so the Gemara says that you have a chovah latzeis yedei shamayim. The Ksos says that's an absolute chovah, meaning even though the term is latzeis yedei shamayim, but really the truth of the matter is that you're really obligated to pay. It just happens to be that Beis Din is handcuffed. Beis Din can only try you on one of the two. The Gemara gives numerous examples of kimleva derabba minei, right? Binyamin, with the apologies to everybody, I'm not going to go over the one in Bar Metzia because it'll take a long time to go over, and it's somewhat awkward. But but let's say, for example, you go over somebody's field on Shabbos and you burn the field on Shabbos, so you're mechalal Shabbos and you're a mazik. So under those circumstances, so the Gemara says is that for the chil Shabbos, so that you're chayiv, you're going to be chayiv skila, and for the hezek that you've done, so Beis Din cannot try you on the hezek because kim lebeder abimine. But the Ksos says, but you're chayiv, meaning the term that's used in the Gemara is latzeis yedei shamayim. But you're chayiv, your mamash chayiv. It just happens to be that Beis Din cannot extract the money out of you because Beis Din can only try you on one of the two counts. Good, but then the Ksos points out, but there are other times in the Gemara where the Gemara uses the word latzeis yedei shamayim. And there, it's not a chova, it's just, I'm going to call it, it's my terminology, it's just being a mensch. It's midos. Not exactly the terminology of the Ksos, but still, the point is going to be the same. For example, the Ksos writes, let's say, grumma benizakin. Okay, anyone who's learned the sixth parak of Baba Kama, so you know that if I damage somebody's property indirectly, so you're patal milsham, you don't have to pay. But the Gemara goes on to say, it's the beginning of the sixth parak. Gemara goes on to say, but you're chayv latzeis yedei shamayim. But in order to satisfy, right, it's not a great translation, but to satisfy a moral obligation, you did indirectly damage, so therefore latzeis yedei shamayim, so you have to pay. So the Kso says, that's not a chova, that's not an obligation, that's just simply midos. Meaning, technically you're putter from having to pay, but latzeis yedei shamayim, so you should pay because it's just simply good midos in terms of your ability to pay. It's just good midos in that it's the right thing to do, that you cause damage, even though you didn't do b'yadayim, you only did b'grama, so you should pay latzeis yedei shamayim. So basically, within latzeis yedei shamayim, we have now broken it down to two categories. Category number one is, you really have a chova to pay. It's just that you can't be taking the Beis Din. Category number, like the example of Kim Leib de Rabbi Mine. Category number two is where it's just midos, meaning you really are off the hook. Technically, you don't have to pay, but if you want to be a mensch, if you want to have good midos, so then you should pay. Good. And so now what I'd like to propose is the following. Tosus over here writes that if I'm going to go with the Svar of Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, so Tosus says that even though Rav Chisda says that you are Pater Melashalim, you don't have to pay, but Tosfos says, but if I'm going to go with the Svara of Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, so then there's a Chova Latzeis Yedei Shamayim to pay. And so what I'm going to ask now is a really simple question. Now that we have these two categories of two different types of Latzeis Yedei Shamayim, when Tosfos over here writes that when you're Mazik Matnas Kahuna, so there's a Chova Latzeis Yedei Shamayim, does he mean that there's a Chova that you're really obligated to pay, it's just that you can't be taking the Beis Din? Or does it mean that it's just simply midos? Just good midos that you should pay. Which category of latzeis does it fall under? In the category of kimle, it's very clear. In the category of grama benizakin, also very clear. Over here, when you're mazik matnas kahuna, so which category is it? Okay. So I spent some time thinking about it. So let's really, what it cuts into is mamon shein lo tovim. Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, so what is that? So again, as I explained just moments earlier, Mamon Shein Lo Tovim means that not one coin can be Tovea against you. Now, as I explained in the beginning, in other words, in America, we create this legality of a class action. Could in theory, could the Kohanim basically do the same thing? Meaning, let's say you were Mazik Matnas Kahuna, and we had all the Kohanim get together, and the Kohanim basically said, look, each one of us individually cannot take you to court. We don't have a taina. Could we all get together and collectively make a taina against you? Now, in Gemara terminology, this is what's called harsha. Harsha basically is what we call here in American law, power of attorney. In other words, if I, for whatever reason, can't take a person to court, I'm just simply unavailable. So what I could do now is I can hand power of attorney over to somebody else, and they can litigate on my behalf. So I'm asking a simple question. By Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, could the Kohanim all get together, and can the Kohanim basically write a harsha one to each other, enabling one Kohen on behalf of all the Kohanim to take you to court? Do you think that would work? So I'll read a Rambam and I'll read a Radvaz on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, "Behemah shel hurma manaseh mutar la'achol mimena." Okay, for the Rambam, Perek Tes from Bikurim Halacha Yudalet. It's on the bottom of the first column. If I have an animal shel hurma manaseh mutar la'achol mimena, she'eino doma la'tevel, sharei manos kahuna muvdalim va'matanos atzman asur li'yisrael la'achlam ela b'rishus kohen. So first of all, the Rambam points out, I made this point in the beginning of Seder this afternoon, that the that manos kahuna, zorlachai v'keva, so they're right there. So what you can do, it's not preferred, it's not recommended, is that you can eat the rest of the animal even before giving the matanos to the kohen. But anyway, that's not the part I want to focus on. The Rambam continues, v'amatanos atzman asur li'yisrael achlam ela b'rishus kohen. Alver v'achlan o hezikan, if somebody were to eat or to damage matanos kahuna, o machran, he sells them, eino chayav l'shalem. You don't have to pay. In other words, like Rav Chisda, mipnei shehu mamon she'ein lo toveya yadua, because there is nobody can make a valid tviya. We don't have a known toveya. Again, it goes back to the idea of mamon she'ein lo tovim, meaning not any one kohen can come over to you and say to you, "Hey, that's mine," because he's not necessarily the kohen that you're going to select. Could be a different kohen. So in other words, the Rama basically is using the svar of Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. So far, so good. Rama passes like Rav Chisda. Rama employs the svar of Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, And now listen to the Radvaz. Radvaz is super interesting. Radvaz writes as follows. Right, he quotes the Gemara. Amar Rav Chista, Amazik Manas Kuhuna, Shachon Patam L'Sham, Maitami Yibayis Tichzi V'Zev, Yibayis Hem Mishun Dav Leimam Shel Natovim, U'mashma. The Radvaz writes, the Afilu Baba Harsha, Mikol HaKohanim Shebi Ir, Patam L'Shalim. Kaven de Mi'ikara Hayamam Shein Lo Tovim. Radvaz says, look, here's what I think. I think that if all the Kohanim got together, and each one of them wrote power of attorney to one designated Kohen, and now he's going to go on behalf of all the other Kohanim, and he's going to say, you know what, it's not right what you did. Mom, right, you stole the Matnas Kahuna. You ate the Matnas Kahuna. It's not right. I'm here, and I'm representing, and I have power of attorney from all the other Kohanim, and I'm here to litigate. So the Radvaz says, I think that in that case it wouldn't work. I think it wouldn't work. Now I'm going to reread the Radvaz again. Why isn't it going to work? So he says, Kaven de mi'ikara hayam mamon shein lo tovim. Because originally it was mamon shein lo tovim. Meaning what the Radvaz over here is considering is the following. Mamon shein lo tovim is actually a chisaron in the litigation. It's a chisaron in the tviyah. Meaning, if you cannot stand up and say that you are the Tohen, that you're the Baldin, so at that point in time, this no longer turns into a case. It's simply not a din. And even if all the Kohanim were to get together and appoint one person to be the representative of all the Kohanim, it's still not going to work. Because Mamon Shein Lo Tovim is a chisaron in the din. You simply do not have a power of litigation. Otherwise stated, you don't have a case. You just simply don't have a case. Then the Radvaz goes on to write, Inami, the Matzil Amemer Dilma Asi Kohen Achrina Me'ama V'lo Ani Rotsa Lite Namatanas. The Radvaz then does a little bit of an about face. The Radvaz says, you know, I'm ready to entertain the idea that maybe power of attorney does work, but I still don't think that the Mazik has to pay. Because the Mazik may end up finding somebody who didn't sign off on this power of attorney. Okay. And basically, what's happening in this Radvaz is the following. The Radvaz is basically now on two sides of the issue of Mamon Shein Lo Tovim. Either Mamon Shein Lo Tovim is now a chisaron in the tefiyah, meaning that's the first position of the Radvaz, and even if you were in principle to be able to get every single Kohen, to give power of attorney to one Kohen, and so that he can litigate, he says it doesn't work over there. Why? Because simply the tefiyah doesn't work. Because it's not a din. The Radvaz says, or maybe it does work, but somehow we're concerned that maybe there's one Kohen out there who didn't sign off on it. Okay. And now in this Radvaz, what you're seeing over here is the Radvaz himself is basically vacillating between, on one hand, Mamon Shein Lo Tovim may just simply be a deficiency in the ability to be Toveya, or maybe not. Maybe Mamon Shein Lo Tovim is just simply a practical issue that you're always going to be able to find a Kohen out there who you wanted to give who didn't sign off. And so now we go back full circle to the Ksos. So over here, Tosos says that if I work with Mamon Shein Lo Tovim, so you still have a Chova Latzei Sidei Shemayim in order to pay. And within the Ksos' categorization of whether or not this is a Chova, but just simply you can't take it to court, like Kim Lay, or this is just simply a function of midos, and so therefore it's not a court case. It's just simply you want to do the right thing. This is a question of midos, so you should pay out midos. So basically, what's in this Radvaz between the back and forth that he has between himself? So you basically have these two issues. Meaning, in the first side of the Radvaz, he's clearly articulating that it's not. In other words, there's no court case. There's Mamon Shein Lo Tovim is a chisaron in the tviyah. And you simply don't have a court case. Tosos says, Chayv Latzei Sidei Shemayim, it means midos. Just simply means midos. The other possibility that Radvaz is, no, maybe it does work. So maybe if it does work, and the only concern is that not every Kohen is signing on, so that means that there at least in principle could be a din, and so your Chova Latzei Sidei Shemayim is mamish it's a Chova. Just happens to be that you can't be taken on to court on legalities, on legal issues. But it's mamish a Chova. So just in general, one you got to consider. When we say that there's a chova latzei sidei shamayim, so you got to put it into a category. You either put it into the category of it's really a chova, just you can't go to court, like Kim Lay, or there's no chova whatsoever, and it's just a question of being of good midos. Okay. I think that this could, that there could be light shed on this from another Tosos on the Amud. I didn't put this in the Marim Kamashi, but it's right on the Amud. On the bottom of Kuf Lamed Amud Bey, so there's another Tosfos. Where Tosfos wonders, Tosfos Dibra Maskal Tana Tani Yishalim Vat Amart, where the Raya from Rabbi Eliezer, and the Machlokas whether or not when you are a traveling Ani, meaning you're an usher, but currently now you're traveling, so you're entitled to Matnas Aniyim, Machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, and the question of whether or not this is a Raya against Rav Chista. So Tosfos wonders at the end, Miu B'samach Kasha, the Kamar time of the Ani Ha'asher Chayev. Now you remember, after the Gemara first thought that the Kasha was going from Rabbi Elazar, the Gemara realized, no, it's not coming from Rabbi Elazar, but it's rather coming from the Sheet of the Chachamim. Chachamim say that you don't have to make up Matnas Aniyim because you're an Ani at the time. Mashma, that if you were an Asher, so you would have to pay. So, and this obviously presented a Kasha against Rav Chista, because Rav Chista says, well, what do you mean? You're Mazik Matnas Aniyim. You don't have to pay. So that was a Kasha. And so the Gemara gave an answer. Rav Chista gives an answer. Tosos wonders, and listen to the lesson of Tosos. Well, my kasha, Ema ani pater afilo milatzis yidei shamayim, ava asher chayev. Maybe the difference between being an asher and being an ani is chovalatzis yidei shamayim. Meaning, the Gemara didn't suggest this, but Tosos says, but why not? Why don't we say that if you're mamish an ani at the time, so then you have no obligation to pay whatsoever because you're an ani. I the diuk, had you been an usher, you do have to pay? No, that doesn't mean that you have to pay. It means, you're just paying because you want to be a good guy. Why didn't the Gemara give that distinction? Now the answer, I'm more interested in the question than the answer, but the answer is super interesting. Meaning, if that's the way we would have presented it, there wouldn't have been a machlokas tanaim over midas chasidus. The Marsha explains, you see the Marsha inside, he says, "Ein derech," I'm quoting the Marsha, "Ein derech tanaim laflog v'chasidus ba'alma." Meaning, if we're just asking a question of how pious a person should be, very pious, not so pious, like that, the tanaim aren't going to argue over. The tanaim are going to argue over din, but they're not going to argue over levels of chasidus. That's the That's Tosfos' reason why the Gemara never suggested this as a possible explanation. But through the Tosfos, you see what just happened? Meaning, the Gemara itself uses the terms midas chasidus. And Tosfos is suggesting, well, maybe, as a possibility, what the Gemara meant by that is latzeis yidei shamayim. Meaning, from Tosfos' standpoint, the latzeis yidei shamayim and midas chasidus are interchangeable terms. So again, if I go back now to the Ksos and this differentiation between when you're paying your matnos, your damaged matnos kahuna, and Tosfos says it's latzeis yidei shamayim, is it mamash a chova, or is it just simply a question of midos? From Tosfos's formulation over here, it sounds like he's invoking the idea that in this context, midos chasidus and latzeis yidei shamayim are really interchangeable terms. If that's true, so it may shed a little bit of light on this issue in terms of at least the way Tosfos looks at this obligation of latzeis yidei shamayim, meaning it's just a question of midas chasidus. It's midas. It's not a chova. It's not an obligation, but it may fall under the category of midas. So again, just quickly to recap, part one. Part one is Tosfos' nafkamina between the two reasons given that when you're mazik manas kahuna, so Rav Chista says you don't have to pay. Tosfos says, but if it's based on mamash elon tovim, there is a chova latzeis yidei shamayim, and within chova latzeis yidei shamayim, so an exploration of how to understand chova latzeis yidei shamayim, either it's mamash chova, but you just can't be taken to court, or it's just a question of midos. And again, the Ksos makes that distinction between that in other areas of halacha. By kimle, it's a chova. By grama benizakin, it's midos chasidus, or it's just good midos. And then the question over here, which categories it fall under? Yeah. Right. Well, one thing I didn't clarify, by the way, which is, thank you for giving me the opportunity. One thing I didn't clarify, meaning these two categories, what's the nafkamina? Right? Can anyone think? Right? What would be the nafkamina, whether it's latzeis yidei shamayim chova or latzeis yidei shamayim just good midos? What would be the nafkamina between the two? I should have said in the beginning. In both cases, you don't have a, you can't be taken to court in both cases. Right? The nafka, I mean, it would be tfisa. Let's say the aggrieved party comes and takes it from you. Meaning you were mazik. You're mazik manas kahuna. And so now, Cohen decides, you know what? This is, it's ridiculous. He ate my matnas kahuna. He owes me. And so, Cohen comes and he's toe-face. If it's category number one, where it's mamish achova, but they can't be taken to court, it means he's entitled. So tfisa would work. If it's just a question of midos, so he can't enforce your midos, meaning from a midos standpoint, you should pay back. But from a chova, there's no real chova there, so then tfisa wouldn't work. By the way, that point that so spells out very clearly, that would be the nafka between these two obligations, these two categories of latzei sidei shamayim. And effectively, now what we're saying is that our question of being mazit manas kahuna, so the nafka mina in this analysis would be, let's say the Kohen decided, I didn't like the fact that he was mazik my manas kahuna. I'm going to be toe-face. So if it's a question of chova, so tfisa is good. If it's a question of midos, tfisa was no good. You take it back from him. Okay. So that's number one. That's the first point of consideration. Okay, number two. Number two, we now turn our attention to Tovah Sanah. Tovah Sanah. So we learned in the Gemara together that what is Tovah Sanah? So when you are in a position where you have Truma, Meiser, or anything where it comes Begeder Nesina, where the Torah says that you have to give it, so Tovah Sanah tells the Balabas that he can give it to whomever he decides to give it to. He has the ability to make an allocation, an executive decision of which coin I want to give it to. Okay. Now, you can ask any politician, is there a value to being able to decide who's going to be the beneficiary? So the answer, of course, is yes. Of course there's a value. Many a politician will get into trouble because what's going to happen is that because any kind of politician who has the ability to allocate money, so very often the time where he's going to receive some sort of kickback. It's not right, but it happens all the time. Why is he going to get a kickback? Because obviously there's a built-in value to making this kind of allocation, to make this kind of executive decision. Okay, so Tovah Sanah for sure is something that has a value. Can a Kohen come over to you and say, hey, look, I heard you have Truma. I'd like to pay you for that Truma. Right? So is that okay? That's clearly not okay. Meaning because that's no longer now a Matana. That's called a Mechira. Right? Truma and Maisos have to come through Matana. Can't be through Mechira. How about somebody else paying you off in order to give the Truma and Maisos? Oddly enough, that's actually okay. As long as it's not the Kohen himself. Okay, fine. So this is what's called Tovah Sanah in Halacha. Tovah Sanah has a value. We can agree. The value of Tovah Sanah, is that equivalent to money? So Tovah Sanah, whether or not that's actually considered mammon, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in a Mishnah in Kedushin. I quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kedushin is found on the top of the next Amud. The Mishnah brings down the following: Hamekadosh betrumos of v'maisos of matanos of v'mechatos v'efrachatos are izim mekudeshes v'afilu Yisrael. The Mishnah, we just stay with trumos and maisos. We'll keep, and we could also talk about matanos as well. But in other words, let's just keep this discussion limited to trumos, maisos, and matanos, meaning anything which you have tovah sanah over. So if I go over, I'm a Yisrael and I have truma, which I'm supposed to be giving to a kohen. Instead of giving it to a Kohen, I go over to a girl and I say, hey, like to be Mekadosh you? I'm going to give you this Truma. She's not a Kohenis. I'm going to give you this Truma. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. To her, what kind of value does it have? She can't make any use of it. So what kind of value does she have? She has Tovah Sanah. In other words, now she has the ability to give this Truma to whomever she wants. And that is a value. Now that's a value. Is that considered mamon? In order to be Mekadosh a woman, you have to give her Kesef Kedushin. You have to give her Kesef. You went through the first parak of Kedushin, So you know, the Gemara spends a lot of time trying to figure out what exactly is equivalent to mamon. So over here in the Mishnah Kedushin, so Mishnah Kedushin now discusses whether or not Tovas Hanah is considered mamon or not considered mamon. Amar Ula, the Gemara starts off, Tovas Hanah ain't a mamon. So Ula says that Tovas Hanah is not mamon. It certainly is a value, but it's not mamon. He doesn't call it mamon. Eisvei, the Gemara says, wait 1 second, what about the Mishnah? Eisvei Rabbi Abba Ula, Mekash B'chumas V'maisov V'matanos, B'mechatz V'efer Parah, HaRezim Mekudeshes V'afil Yisrael. What do you mean? The Mishnah says she is Mekudeshes. It sounds like mamon. So Amar Leah Hachab Yisrael Shenafalo Tevala Mebeis Aviyah Imo Kohen, because of Ramana Shlohomer Kamishur Humer Damya. Leave the Mishnah out of the whole discussion. The Mishnah is talking about a very complicated case. It's not so complicated. The Mishnah is talking about a complicated case where the Yisrael inherited Truma. His maternal grandfather is a Kohen. He himself is not a Kohen. It's his maternal grandfather. And then through Yerusha, he got a hold of the Truma. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is not talking about being Mekash with Tovas Hanah. It means that we're talking about somebody who was Yarshin Truma. Okay. And then the Gemara goes on from there, but basically what comes out in the Gemara is, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas whether or not Tovas Hanah is Mamon or not Mamon. Simple pshat in the Mishnah, Tovas Hanah is Mamon, but the Gemara deflects. The Gemara says not necessarily. It's a machlokas. The Rosh Paskins that Tovas Hanah is Mamon. The Rambam says Tovas Hanah is not Mamon. There are many Rambams to speak about in this regard. I quote three Rambams. Rambam number one, Gun of Truma, Mebala, HaYisraelim, Shifrishua, Einu Misham, Tashlo Mekefal, She'in Lahen Ba, Ela Tovas Hanah, V'Tovas Hanah Einu Mamon. You steal Truma from the Yisraelim, so you do not have to pay Kefal. Why? Because he didn't have Bailus on it. All he had was Tovas Hanah. Tovas Hanah is not Mamon. Another Rambam, Manash Lohum Arei Kemei Shehurmu, the Fichri Yisrael Shenafalo Tevala Mei Beis Avi Imo, Kamo V'Hifrish Man Truma Maisos Arein Kitruma Maisos Shafilu. I'm sorry, Amash Shenafalo Birusha Mei Avi Imo V'Im Kiyish Bahem Isha Arei Zem Kudeshes. If you Yarshin Truma, you could use it for Kedushin. Shafal Bishen Arayin Lohim LaAchila Yesh Lo Lamachon LaMishen Ruin Lo. Because if you Yarshin Truma, so for you it's a commodity. You could sell it. Granted, you're not going to get a lot of money for selling this Truma, but you could sell it, it's yours. But the Rambam says, but you try to be Mekadesh Truma that you were mafrish from your kri, from your produce. You can't sell it. The only thing you have is Tovas Hanah. And the Rambam says, Beferish, it's not Mamon. A third Rambam. Also, the Kohen Litol Truma Ashar Matan Shalom Ashi Frishu Osam Habalim Shenemar Rishis Asher Yinu Lo. Hashem, sorry, Asher Yinu La Hashem. Lecha Nesatim Benemar Asher Yerim Bnei Yisrael La Hashem Nesati Lech Ashi Yerim Vachar Kach Yizak Behem. Velo Yilem Acher Shehuma Ela Midas Balim Sharei Hem Shal Balim Litnam Lechol Kohen Shirtsa Shenemar Vishis Kadosh Avlo Yeh Vim Lakach Shalom Midas Balim Zach Behem Shein La Balim Mehem Ela Tovas Hanah V'Tovas Hanah Inu Mamon. A Kohen comes over to you and takes your truma. You didn't give it to him. And he takes your truma. What Cohen did was inappropriate. But the Rambam writes, even though what the Cohen did was inappropriate, but you can't demand them back. Why? Because he didn't take mammon from you. What did he take from you? The only thing he took from you was your Tovas Hanah. Okay? It's not right, but it's not mammon. So therefore, the Cohen gets to keep it. Rambam clearly is of the opinion that Tovas Hanah is ain't no mammon. Just, I'll say under my breath, by Nedarim, the Rambam holds that Tovas Hanah is Mamon. That's a separate point to consider. Okay. Anyway, let's take a look together at a Rashi that we did in our Gemara. If you take a look at the top of Kuf Lamed Aleph Amen Aleph, I put on the sheet, but if you want to look in your Gemara. If you take a look at the Rashi on the top of the Amud, so the Gemara, again, in its discussion within Rav Chista, so the Gemara has the following. It starts on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. The Brisa starts off. Minayin Labal Bayis, it's the last lines of Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. Minayin Labal Bayis Sha'achal Peros of Tvalim, V'chein Levi Sha'achal Ma'asor Sov Tvalim, Minayim Shepater Menat Tashlum. So you ate the Tevel. Or the Levi ate the Tevel. Levi, from his Meiser that he receives, has a Chiyuv to give Trumas Meiser to a Kohen. He ate it before taking off the Trumas Meiser. So your potter. Tamalam Rav Lo Yichalu is Kachay Bnei Yisrael Asher Yarimu Ein Lecha Behen Ela Mishas Harama Ve'Elech. In other words, you're a pater because the Kohen only has the rights in it only from the point of harama and onwards, only after you separate it. The Gemara makes a very simple deal. Kamishas harama ve'elach mi'am mishalim. That means that once you separate the Shumas and Maestros, so now, if you don't give it to the Kohen and you eat it, you're chayv l'shalim. Obviously, it's a kashan Rav Chista. Amayla hevek hamazik matnas kahuno sha'achlam. So isn't that a kashan Rav Chista? So the Gemara's answer, which you're familiar with, hachanami dasu liyad debetiv layu. So the Gemara says, no, the case over here is a unique case. The Trumas and Maestros were not in your possession. They were in the Kohen's possession. Meaning it was give the whole produce was given over to the Kohen in a state of Tevel. And the author of this Tana is of the opinion that even though Trumas and Maestros were not yet separated, nevertheless, once they come into possession of them, even in a state of pre-Hafrasha, still, it's considered as if Kimisho Homer Damyan, and so therefore the Kohen now is holding his Trumas and Maestros. And under those circumstances, obviously, anyone who comes in, takes it, and eats it is going to be Chayev. That's the Ukimta of the Gemara. Now, if you look at Rashi over there, Rashi says, what exactly is the scenario in which you gave the Kohen the Trumas and Maestros in a state of Tevel? Now, if you look at Rashi carefully, we're going to read the Rashi inside. Dasali Yadei the Kohen B'Tivlayhu Shehufkad HaTevel Etzlo. So one of Kimta says, Rashi, is that, what did you do? You asked the Kohen, do me a favor. I got a lot of grain. And I'm going to take off Trumas and Maestros, but right now, I'm going to go away. Do me a favor. You'll hold on to the whole pile. Right? Havkada. It's a pikadon. He's watching it. E kemishu or medamyan, Rashi, zacha behem min ahefker, sharei kadam. So now, this Kohen is holding all this produce as a pikadon. Now it also happens to be that in this pile of produce is also Trumas and Maestros. They're latent; they haven't been separated yet. But again, as we already know, the Tanna's of the opinion is Kamisha Omia Damya. And so now the Kohen's thinking to himself, wonderful. Now who's going to be the recipient of it? Well, I'm holding it. You know what? I'll be the recipient of it. Good. That's one ukimta of Rashi. Lishna Achrina, but Rashi doesn't stop. Rashi gives a second ukimta. Rashi says, Shemasa lo asaba lezakos b'chuma shebo. Rashi's second pshat is that the ukimta is where I actually say to the Kohen, look, I have all this produce. I didn't take off Trumas and Maestros yet. I plan on giving the Trumas and Maestros to you, but you know what? Here, just take everything right now. Obviously, I'll take everything else back, meaning the non-Trumas and Maestros, but you know what? I plan on giving it to you. That's Rashi's second ukimta. Simple question. Why does Rashi give two ukimtas? Meaning we're looking for a scenario in which the Kohen has all the produce, and because of the principle of Manash Lahumu Kamish Umar Damyan, so we're basically saying now the Kohen is the Balim of the Trumas and Maestros. But why does Rashi give two separate ukimtas? Rashi was unhappy with the first ukimta. Rashi therefore gave a second ukimta, right? A curiosity. So if you take a look over here, I quote the Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash, a parish on Shulchan Aruch. So he writes as follows, V'nachzer le'inyanenu. So he says very well. He says, why does Rashi give over here two pshatim? He says like this. Da'ulish, now I'm reading the Pri Chadash inside. Da'ulish, the desfir le'i da'afa pishalo baliyado atevel elabatoris pikadon, sha'afa pikein zacha ben matnos min ahefker, hainu mishum desfir le'i da'tovas anayinu mamun. Oh, very good. What Rashi over here is addressing is the machlokus in terms of whether or not tovasana is mamun or is not mamun. Again, it's a machlokus in the Gemara, it's a machlokus amongst the poskim. But what Rashi over here is doing is he's basically going to give ukimtas for both stadim. So on the stad that we're talking about, where it was given to him as a pikadon, so Rashi says, I'm sorry, the Pri Chadash says we're going according to the mandam who says that the tovasana is eno mamun. Now, if tovasana is not mamun, so what does that mean? Who's the balim of the Trumas and Maestros while it's in the possession of the Yisrael? You can't really say it's the Yisrael who's the balim because it's not mamon. In fact, remember the Rambam that we went through? The Rambam holds that Tovas Anah is not mamon. A Kohen, if he wanted to, shouldn't. But if he wanted to, he can come and take it. And it's rightfully his. Why? Because Tovas Anah is not mamon. He didn't take mamon from the balim. The first case of Rashi, where he gave it to the Kohen as a pikadon, and now the Kohen is entitled now to take the Trumos HaMaisros. So the Pri-Chadosh writes beautifully. That's subscribing to the position that Tofas Hana is not Mammon. Avali Idach Lishna, the Matzrich Mesira Amanas L'Zakos B'Trumos Shabo. However, the second Ukimta of Rashi, where you point to the Kohen and you say, look, I want to give you the latent Trumos HaMaisros that are here. So the Pri-Chadosh writes beautifully. Because he's subscribing to the principle of Tofas Hana being Mammon. Hayne Mishum Desvirle de Tofas Hana Mammon. The only way that Trumos HaMaisros can be transferred to its rightful recipient is only if the owner, the Yisrael, actually intentionally gives it to the Kohen. Because if I subscribe to the idea that Tofas Hana is Mammon, so that means that while in the possession of the Yisrael, I want to say the word belongs to the Yisrael. It's a little too much, but in other words, he has a shaykhus in it. It's mammon to him. And as a result of that, so the only way it can transfer from him to the Kohen is only with das, only with an asino. So the Pri-Chadosh writes beautifully that what Rashi is doing over here in these two akimtas is he's satisfying both sides of whether or not Tofas Hana is mammon or is not mammon. Okay, so let's recap. So, two big topics that we covered in the course of this afternoon. One, Tosos on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis talking about Lasei Sidei Shamayim and your obligation to pay back, even though Me'ikar Adin your Pater, but your obligation to pay back. So Tosos suggests that if I hold the principle of Mamash Ein Lotovim, so even though Me'ikar Adin I don't have to pay, but there's a Chiyuv Lasei Sidei Shamayim, and after learning the Ksos together, a question of whether or not it is a Chova Gamor, just can't be taken to court, or is it just a question of midos? And again, the nafkamina would be whether or not the Kohen were to be toface. If it's chova, so the tfisa would work. If it's just midos, the tfisa would not work. And within Tosos, it's not perfectly clear which side he holds, but I suggested a bit of a raya from the second to last Tosos that Tosos is interchanging the Latzis Yedei Shemayim with the midos chasidus mentioned in the Gemara. Sounds like from Tosos, it falls more under the category of midos. It's not mukhrach, but it's a possibility. And the other big topic that we discussed is Tofas Hana. Is Tofas Hana Mammon or is it not Mammon? Machlokus in the Gemara, Machlokus amongst the Poskim, and it explains the two tzedadim of Rashi. Rashi over here writes that there are two kimtas in terms of how the Kohen was able to receive the Trumos HaMaisros in its latent state, either through Pikadon or through Mesira. And so the Pri-Chadosh explains beautifully because it's going on both sides of whether or not Tofas Hana is Mammon or is not Mammon.